Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of On Heater Podcast featuring myself. And yes, I am renewed and healthy and feeling a lot better. Honestly, I was so dead last week Kiwi and I we were both feeling a little lazy, so we didn't even record that second podcast. It just wasn't going to be good, guys.
It wasn't the start of the week to deal with that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'm joined, as always, by Kiwi. Hello, two idiots blundering on about sports. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty all right. Pretty all right. Like you said, yeah, we were just not feeling that Sunday episode. And it's a good thing we didn't, because there really wasn't that much news this week. So we just tossed it right into this week's.
Yeah, it was a pretty light news week. I mean, there was some pretty big signings going on over the weekend, and I was like, damn, maybe we should really do the Sunday episode, but like, I wasn't feeling good. You know, I didn't want you to have to carry two podcasts in a row, so right. we just decided, hey, we'll hold off, we'll wait for it. But you know, it's honestly probably a pretty good thing that we held off a little bit at the very least, because we had some pretty big signings over in baseball, some pretty big contracts handed out, starting with the New York Yankees signing Fried, 8 years, $218 million, and then the big one, oh, the big letdown, ooh, the big disappointment, ooh, the big burner, Juan Soto with the Mets, 15 years, $765 million.
Yeah. Doesn't this kind of seem like the Yankees were like, oh man, we really miss Soto, we gotta sign somebody?
Absolutely, it was. I think, I'm not gonna lie to you, I think that they were on to fried chicken well before Soto even left. I think as soon as the season was ending, they were done with the Soto sweepstakes. They knew from the get-go. I'm actually surprised that the Red Sox didn't win this.
Yeah, so what, we had 15 years at
700, right? so
we were 65 off, but ours was probably most likely going to be deferred, right?
I'm thinking either A, most of it was probably deferred money, or B, something in the contract language Soto didn't like. That's my guess on that. And I'm not going to lie to you, because after taxes, New York state taxes, Massachusetts state taxes, Soto would have earned more if he stayed with the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I think the difference was is the Mets like offered him, he has like an out.
Yeah.
The last 5 years of the contract or whatever.
Something like that. So that might honestly be it too. The Red Sox probably didn't offer him an out.
Yeah, we probably tried to literally just lock him up for the full time, if not like maybe just the last 2 years or something like that.
Right.
There's also, I think he also has the option for an extension of 1 year after this as well.
I think so.
But just to put this in perspective, so he signed for $765 million. If you take the top seven players from the NHL on contracts, Ovechkin, Draisaitl, Weber, Crosby, Kovalchuk, McKinnon, and McDavid, that's only a combined $753.2 million. And Soto's at $765.
Oh, yeah.
It's $12 million more still.
Yeah. It's a gross amount of money. Like, when are we going to see our first billion-dollar contract?
At this rate, it might be next year.
It might be next year, right? Like, it's kind of insane.
Well, Ohtani signed for $700, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then Soto's at $765. That's the top two.
Yeah.
So,
do we see Ohtani go back for an extension for more?
He's already there for like a million years already, isn't he? 10 or 12 or something?
Something crazy, yeah. But yeah, I mean, does he look for that like 4 year, $200, $300 million extension for the billion-dollar contract?
Who knows, maybe. We'll see what Sasaki signs for.
Oh, right. I forgot about Sasaki.
He won't be this high, but
yeah.
It'll be high, but it won't be this high.
He'll get a good contract. And then wrapping up a little bit of baseball news this week, Arenado got in the trade lottery looking for a new destination. I think the Red Sox are in on him too. I'm not too high that they're probably going to get him considering, you know, some of the moves that they're trying to make otherwise. But
so his top two options were the Dodgers, of course, big surprising.
Shocker.
And what was the other one?
I actually don't know.
I want to say this is going to be weird, but I want to say it was like the Mariners or something. It was like kind of an obscure team, I feel like. Yeah. Maybe it was the Yankees and I'm just talking out of my butt, but
somebody's in the comments.
Yeah. He said that he has a partial no trade.
Right.
But he said he is willing to waive it if it's a competitive team.
Yeah.
Right. And he's also willing to transition to first base. Mm-hmm. To play with, if that opens up like more options.
Right.
So everything will be interesting. And I mean, Mozeliak came out and said that they're going to try their best to trade him and see what get the most out of for him that they can.
Yeah, I mean, good for him if he can get out of there, get to a team that's going to compete and be for a World Series.
Yeah, and then the Cardinals can. Once they're going to lose a lot of older guy contracts here coming up soon. So they're finally going to have a more youthful team and maybe can actually start, you know,
resetting
towards something worthwhile.
Reset. Yeah.
Instead of just dragging their feet on this.
But that kind of wraps us up for baseball. Moving on over into football, Bill Belichick, moving from the pros to the undergrads, or I guess, yeah, basically, yeah, it is undergrads. He's going to college, college ball. he has been approved. It is finalized. It is done deal. He is the coach of the UNC Tar Heels.
Yeah, this was kind of a shock. I was not expecting UNC.
Of all teams, yeah, you know, of all schools. Like, I would have thought if he'd be going to like a college program, he'd be going to like, I mean, I guess UNC is a big school, right? I mean, it's a pretty big school. But when I think UNC, I think basketball.
Right. I don't think basketball or baseball. I don't think football.
So it'll be cool what he can do with that program.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. There was another school that had an opening too, but I thought that school was a little more likely, but I can't think of who it is now.
I can't either.
Is it Tennessee?
It might have been Tennessee Volunteers. Might have been.
Anyways, I might just be spreading crazy misinformation this podcast already twice.
Is what it is.
yeah, I was a little surprised at UNC, but I'm sure, you know. But they paid him what? Was it $60 million?
It was a lot of money.
60 million or something like that, I think was the contract.
He's gonna be like 77 by the time he's done with that.
Yeah, he's still going to be a really good coach by the time he's done with the two, though. So,
I mean, also, I kind of like, you know, what his plan is. He wants to set guys up, you know, for like post football careers. He doesn't want to just be like, I'm here to win. Like, he wants to get them NFL ready, which honestly, I mean, that's kind of great. Although, how he handled some of the rookies, I'm like, How's Belichick gonna handle some of these college kids? He's just gonna, come on, get the
blowing. I mean, I feel like college is a little bit different, right? Whenever you have a coach that has a resume like him, it's more of like a respect thing. Like, oh, like this is a proven coach. Like, I have to be on my best behavior for this. Like, he's not gonna mess around, right? You know. Whereas in the pros, it's like, bro, I don't need you. I get paid $200 billion a year,
right?
Like. So,
well, with all the NIL deals and shit like that, I mean,
I stay away from college football. Honestly, it hurts my head.
It does too. Yeah.
Just take one look at the conferences and you're going to be like, yeah, no, I'm done.
Yeah, no, screw that. Belichick, good job for him. Good luck for him. The NFL is going to host their first regular season game in Berlin at an Olympic Stadium next year. I think that's going to be pretty cool. Did they announce what game it's going to be?
I don't think they yet. I think it's just announced that I'll double check while we're going on this, but I think they just
announced that there's gonna game gonna be there.
Announced that there will be a game there, yeah.
All right. And I think before we jump into our preheated primetime preview, I guess I should have asked this before we started. Are we doing the NFL current standings or are we reviewing our prediction standings here?
Well, so we reviewed them once already, right? So I feel like maybe just do a check-in and then we'll review them again at the end of the season.
All right, yeah. So currently on Thursdays, I'm sitting at a nice whopping 3-7. We've missed a few weeks here and there, guys. Forgive us. Kiwi, you're sitting at 2-8. On Sundays, I've been falling back a little bit at 7-5. You are sitting at 10-2 on Sunday nights. On Monday, we are locked up at 10-5.
Wow. So what is that? Who's technically leading here? Me.
You.
I pulled back ahead. I'm 2 ahead.
I mean, yeah. Technically. I mean, we're tied on. I'm beating you on Thursday. You're beating me on Sunday. We're tied on Mondays. So technically, if we're going by like win loss record,
we're going by overall.
But if we're going by overall,
we're tied.
Yeah.
But here we go. Hold on. Let me just translate NFL Germany's post here. Multi-year commitment to the games in sports metropolis of Berlin. It doesn't say.
I mean, they probably they might not have announced it yet, like officially, like the game.
Yeah, I think they just got the contract stuff like worked
signed
out and whatever.
Yeah,
to figure out all of that. But all right, let's do a little look in here to the actual standings here.
Mm-hmm.
AFC East, the Bills have clinched the division as well as
the Chiefs.
As well as the Chiefs in the AFC West. Yes. In the AFC North, the Steelers are leading at a 10-3 record, the Baltimore Ravens behind them at 8-5, which, by the way, the Bengals have now moved up to 5-8. There's a very real chance they could finish above 500 this season, which would be good for them.
They could sneak right into the wild card slot if they get lucky.
Yeah. And the Houston Texans are leading the AFC South at 8-5, with the Colts at 6-7 behind them. That puts the wild card team. Oh, geez. Can you not see the wild card teams on the own? Oh my gosh, you can't. They don't tell you the wild card teams on the NFL website.
Well, it's what, 5, 6, and 7 seeds? So the Ravens, Chargers, and Broncos have it.
Yeah. So the Ravens at 8-5, the Chargers at 8-5, and the Broncos at 8-5.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tight race.
Yeah.
And then for the NFC East, the Eagles and the Lions have both clinched a spot, but not their division yet.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles are 11-2 over the Commanders of 8-5. The Lions are 12-1 over the 11-2 Vikings and the 9-4 Packers. And then the Bucks are currently leading the NFC South at 7-6 over the 6-7 Falcons and the 5-8 Saints, which is crazy to me that the Saints have the same record as the Bengals. And the Seahawks are currently leading the West at 8-5 over the 7-6 Rams and the 6-7 Cardinals and 49ers. That's a very close division.
Yeah, that's going to be tight down the run. And the wild card slots right now are the Vikings, the Packers, and the Commanders.
So, not going to get that 4 teams out of the NFC North, but most likely going to get 3.
The Bears just had to go and throw their season away.
Yeah. That's what we did. Good grief, but...
Yeah.
All right, well, that's that's about it for football other than our preheated primetime preview.
Coming in tonight, Thursday night, the current time is 6:38 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have the Rams and 49ers tonight on Amazon Prime. Who do you got?
This is tough, as always. I feel like this was a primetime game earlier in the season, too.
I think it was.
I think I have the 49ers.
Okay.
I don't know. They kind of beat up on the Bears.
I think they beat up on the Bears, but are the Bears just bad? Like,
I mean, yes, but at the same time, like,
I mean, the Rams were playing real well last week.
That's true.
Like, real, real well last week. Although I feel like the Rams are like this hot and cold team. I'm picking the Rams.
That's how I'm kind of feeling about the 49ers this season with their injuries, is they're kind of hot and cold.
Right. So. I'm picking the Rams, but I mean, I could see the Niners winning.
This could go either way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we have the Packers at Seahawks on Sunday, NBC Peacock. Let me not put my foot in my mouth here. I have the Seahawks.
Okay. I mean, you've been pretty right on Sunday nights, so I have an inkling that the Seahawks are probably going to win, but I'm picking the Packers. I think that they're just playing way too well to lose to a team like the Seahawks.
I think the Packers are worse than their record shows. I don't know how much worse, but I think they're worse than...
I think that about a lot of teams. I'm not going to lie to you. Namely the Chiefs.
I feel like the Seahawks are about on par of their record, though.
Not to derail this. I was surfing through Twitter earlier today, and I saw a post that was like, what if we swapped every single one score game, like record, game, like, you know, result? The Chiefs would be 2-11.
Good Lord. Dude, the Bears would be like 1-0. We lost 5 games in a row by one score, right? Yeah. Or something like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think the Bears were like
would be insane.
A 9 or 10 win team. Yeah. As I could not believe it. And all the entire comment section was so fucking funny. Cause like, yeah, I mean, everybody hates the Chiefs except for
if
Chiefs
you find
fans.
That post again, send that to me. Cause I want to see that.
I'll scroll through Twitter after we're done here. But like, It was wild to me. And like the whole comment section was just like, wow, if the refs weren't so Chiefs favored, maybe this would be accurate.
All I'm gonna say is that it's pretty iconic that Taylor Swift has an album called Red, mm-hmm. and she is dating someone on the Chiefs.
Yeah. Anyway. Monday night football.
And that's the color that the refs wear.
Same color the refs. Monday Night
Taylor
Football.
Swift's paying the refs. That's what I got out of this.
Bears at Vikings.
This is the Vikings.
The Vikings.
This is a first of a doubleheader on Monday, might I add. This is 8 o'clock on ABC.
It is Monday night, 8 o'clock ABC.
And then our 8:30 ESPN Plus game on Monday is Falcons at Raiders. I have the Raiders.
You have the Raiders?
The Raiders. All right. I don't trust interception Cousins.
Listen, Monday night Kirko, he's gonna step it up. He's got this.
Isn't he the quarterback that hasn't ever won a Monday night primetime?
I believe in Kirk Cousins. Despite his interceptions lately, they've been out of control.
Dude, didn't he throw 6 in the last game? No touchdowns, and they're not benching
him. You know, a little on the cold side, but he'll turn around. I believe in
Bro, Kirk. they have a rookie quarterback like ready to go. And they're like, Michael... nah, we're sticking with 6 interceptions, Kirk.
Michael Penis Jr. is
penis. I saw that freaking meme the other day. Oh, that guy wearing that Penis Jr. shirt.
Holy shit. Anyway.
Anyways, and then as usual, we have the Patriots, and they're at Cardinals this week. Yeah, it's the Cardinals.
This is an easy one. I'm actually hoping... I'm actually hoping the Patriots lose this, because right now they're third pick in the draft. Honestly,
you guys are ahead of who? The Panthers and
the Panthers. No, the Panthers.
The Jets and
the Raiders and the Giants. Yes, the Raiders and the Giants.
How many games have the Jets won?
The Jets are the same record as the Patriots. They're 3-10.
Oh, so they're fourth. Okay.
Yeah, the Raiders are 2-11, and so are the Giants.
So are the Giants.
So if the Raiders actually win on Monday night, that'd be great for me, because if the Patriots lose, then that means they slide down to that 2 slot, which,
well, the Giants aren't going to win because they're playing like
Eagles
or something.
I don't care about the 1 slot. I don't care about the 1 pick, because the Giants aren't taking a top, you know, wide receiver, or
they're going to take a quarterback,
right? Like, they're going to be targeting a quarterback. The Patriots don't need a quarterback. They have Drake May, and Drake playing great. They need either a top wide receiver, or they need to trade back for, like, you know, a few good, like, picks, you know, and take a lineman at like 11 or 12, you know?
Yeah. But that wraps us up for football. So into the old NHL. We had a retirement this year, and I meant to pull up his career, but Kevin Shattenkirk has retired.
He's done.
He's done after how many seasons?
Too many.
A lot.
Too many.
14.
Damn.
After 14 seasons.
That's pretty legit.
So, let's see here. Let me read off his stats here. 952 games, 103 goals, 381 assists, a plus minus of minus 29. 544 penalty minutes. So, I mean, a solid D-man. He played for both the Bruins and the Blues.
Yeah.
So, he played for quite a few teams. Colorado, St. Louis.
He had a good career.
Washington, the Rangers, the Lightning, Anaheim.
Yeah.
And then Boston.
He had a good career. He, not a Hall of Fame guy, but good career.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Not Hall of Fame, but definitely a well-respected guy within the league. And
absolutely.
I've never heard a bad thing about Shattenkirk. Like, everybody loved him. So, congrats to him and good luck on his retirement. I would not be surprised if you see him working some made up position for the Blues.
Yeah, no kidding.
Since he spent most of his time with us. So, but congrats to him on his retirement.
Yeah. There was a trade.
We didn't cover this last week.
The Avs trade? No, we didn't.
Oh, that's right. This came out
this week.
The day after.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out on Friday. Yeah.
Colorado stacking up, and actually, I mean, more really San Jose kind of stacking up on goalies, but so is Colorado a little bit. We saw Colorado acquire Blackwood, Smith, and a 2027 fifth from San Jose for Georgiev, Kovalenko, and the 2026 second and 2025 fifth.
Whew. Yeah, so in a matter of like a week or 12 days or something, Colorado completely reworked their goaltending.
Yeah.
So a Newman and Georgiev both out. Blackwood is an excellent get.
It's a really good get.
Wedgwood's going to be a solid backup for him. They got Miles Wood. They got the whole forest going.
Do you think San Jose traded away Blackwood because of Saros?
I think.
Or it's Saros, right?
You mean
Askarov?
100%. He's cooking. He's absolutely cooking for the Barracuda right now.
Yeah.
Like, he looks so good. He's going to be a goalie of the future. Like, he's going to be a top five goalie of the future, but for sure.
Do you think they're about to call him up?
I think they're going to let him finish probably most of the year with the Barracuda. Maybe have him come in as a backup for Georgiev.
Yeah.
It's a little
surprise. I mean, he's cooking down there. And I mean, he's doing really, really well. But it's just a little surprising to me that they're trading Blackwood for Georgiev. I mean, Georgiev's He's okay, but he's not.
So this is more, I don't think it's so much as San Jose trading for Georgiev as Colorado needed to trade Georgiev away.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because, like, look what they sent him. They sent him two picks, including a second round, and Kovalenko, true, who's a good skater.
True, true. Yeah.
They're getting Smith, which, I mean, he's good. He's not bad by any means.
I mean,
but Blackwood, I think, is the pivotal point that Colorado is getting from this, yeah, trade.
I think, you know, commodity-wise, like, you know, acquisition-wise, I think San Jose won this trade. Just because of the volume of the picks that they got.
Yes. So this is absolutely a win for San Jose.
Yeah.
Because they are still in that rebuild very much.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I think they're just going to let Askarov finish the season with the Barracuda, is they don't need to rush him at all. It's, they, true, know they're not ready to compete yet. So let him keep increasing his skill and getting better. That's more, true, than he already is, and then bring him up. Where you can, Georgiev is a solid goaltender.
He's going to be good.
And now, yeah, and now he's in what is currently a little bit of a quieter market,
mm-hmm,
because,
yeah,
San Jose is not fighting for a playoff spot or anything like that. They're not fighting for pressure, a cup.
Yeah,
right. So I think once, this might be a little bit of a mental reset for Georgiev. I could see Georgiev reverting back to his 2018 or whenever they won the cup self.
Right. Yeah, that could happen.
So
not too bad.
I love this, I like trade the for trade, both teams, but yeah, San Jose definitely got the better end of this trade.
Oh, for sure.
So Blackwood was acquired for either, oh my gosh, I'm gonna botch this. I can't remember if it's a fourth round pick or a sixth round pick.
He was acquired for San Jose. Yeah.
And they have now flipped him for a second round pick.
Yeah. Yep.
That is asset management.
That is, yeah. That's really, really good management from the
Is the San Jose Sharks in a nutshell. What, like, that franchise just blows my mind at how well they run.
Yeah.
Like, they're gonna rebuild, well, and they're making other people look embarrassing. Like,
they're doing well. I mean, good for them. I like it. I like it.
I should have, I'm realizing now, coming to this next point here, mm-hmm, I don't want to wear it, but I have my Winter Classic jersey.
I should have, but honestly, I think I'm gonna wait, you know, a little maybe next week or the week after, I'll put my Winter Classic jersey back on. But
I want to wait. I want to be the first time that I wear it, be the game.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
But seeing this next news, I was thinking, well, maybe I should have worn it. Yeah, but the per Mr. the Almighty, Mr. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name now.
Bettman?
Yes, Gary Bettman. The first name that popped in my head was George Parros, and I'm like, that's not the right guy. No. Per Gary Bettman, the Winter Classic next year will most likely be in Miami with the Panthers hosting.
Very cool. I mean, it's going to be an interesting Winter Classic. Not much of a outdoor game.
So is it going to be the Battle of Florida?
Maybe.
Is it going to be the Lightning, or do we see the Hurricane? I'm thinking it's either going to be the Lightning, the Hurricanes, or maybe even the Bruins.
That might be cool. That might be kind of cool.
I think there's because that's like a new blood rivalry for the Bruins, yeah, and the Panthers now.
Yeah, it is.
So I could see either of those. I think it's most likely going to be the Lightning, right?
Battle of Florida. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be the Battle of Florida, which will be an excellent Winter Classic game.
Should have done it a few years ago while Stamkos was still there. But anyway.
Well, they got Jake Gensel now. So.
Yeah.
At least they still have a superstar. Oh, they still have Kucherov.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And Vasilevskiy, they still have a great team.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the same.
It's not. It's not. At least we'll get to see the Panthers prime team right now, and
yeah, yeah,
a very much still relevant Lightning team.
Mm-hmm.
So That'll be exciting. I will definitely make sure to catch that game on TV next year.
Assuming we can get the game.
Well, I'm sure it'll be on NHL Network. Maybe I can get a 7-day free trial or something. But that brings us into... We're doing our little recaps this week, and I got my trust or bust and hold them or fold them coming up. So let's do a little recap here and see how you did so far.
Oh boy.
So we'll start with trust or bust. The Leafs were 6-4-1, and you said trust. They are currently 17-9-2 and second in the Eastern Division. Excellent, excellent choice there. The Bruins are 4-6-1. You said bust. They are currently 15-12-3 and third in the East. However, if we would have done this 2 weeks ago, this would have looked way better for you.
Yeah.
Before the coaching change.
It still does look a little good for me.
It's not terrible.
Yeah.
The Flyers, you were 4-6-1. You said bust. They are 13-12-4 and fifth in the Metro. So that's looking pretty good. The Penguins, this is a rough one, bud, are 4-7-1. You said trust. The Penguins are 12-14-4 and trust. Seventh trust. In the Metro
trust.
Right now.
Trust.
To be fair, though, the trust or bust, the difference between this and hold them and fold them was you were trusting the Penguins to be bad.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So
yeah.
they are bad. So
yeah. That's a trust.
The Islanders were 3-5-2. You said they were a bust. They are 11-12-7, sixth in the Metro. With, of course, those seven loser points. Let's highlight that. The Blues were 5-6-0. You said trust.
Trust them.
This is paying off very well now. 14-13-2, and they are fifth in the Central and climbing fast.
Yeah, they're doing real well.
The Predators were 3-6-1. You said bust. Boy, you were spot on because they are 7-16-6 and dead last in the Central and dead last in the league. Well, maybe the Blackhawks are, but other than that, they're bottom three for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Ducks were 4-4-2. You said trust. Not your best call here. They're 10-13-4 and last in the Pacific.
That was also a little bit of a trust that they would be a bad team. So
yeah, that was
I'll take all of these as wins.
I mean, honestly, they're pretty solid. You weren't too far off on a lot of them.
Give me all of them. Give me all.
And some of them were spot on, like especially the Leafs. And then for hold'em and fold'em.
Awesome.
Well, so this one was, were they just hot or are they actually good? The Sens were 4-2-0. You said hold'em. They are currently 13-13-2 and fifth in the East. So at middle ground, could still pan out, could fall off.
Still holding.
The Caps were 5-1-0. You said fold them, and they are the best team in hockey right now at 19-6-2. I take that back. They're the second best team in hockey, and first in the Metro.
I'll take the L on that one.
Yeah. The Wild were 4-0-2. You said hold them. Great choice. They are the best team in hockey at 19-5-4 and first in the Central.
That was an obvious pick.
Yes, the Wild have looked amazing. Utah Hockey Club were 4-2-1. You said fold the Arizona Coyotes, and you were correct. Do so. They are 12-11-5-6 in the Central. The Flames were 5-0-1. You said hold them. Could still pan out. They are 14-10-5 and fifth in the Pacific. And then the Kings were 3-2-2. You said fold them, and not looking great for you. They are 17-8-3 and second in the Pacific.
Listen,
I would have never read the Kings like
this. I would never have read the Kings like this, and I didn't. Out of trust or bust and hold them, fold them, I will take two L's from both of those lists.
The Caps.
The Caps and the Kings. Accept those two L's. The rest of them, I got it.
You were pretty on. I got it. There's a couple here that could definitely swing in your favor still with the rest of the season. So,
The Kings and the Caps,
not looking great for you, but other than that, pretty solid.
Pretty good. Pretty good. I like it. I'm here for it.
And that brings us into, actually, you know what? Let's jump to, since we just went over all that, let's jump to the Thanksgiving standings here. So as everyone knows, if you are in a playoff spot at Thanksgiving, there is an 80% chance that you will continue to keep a playoff spot for going into the actual playoffs. So let's take a little look here at the November 28th standings here. At the current time, the Atlantic was led by the Maple Leafs, the Panthers, and the Bruins. Mm-hmm. The Metropolitan was led by the Hurricanes, Devils, and Capitals. And the wild card for the East was currently the Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. In the West, we have the Central is the Jets, the Wild, and the Stars, Pacific, Golden Knights, Flames, Kings, and Wild Card, Avalanche, and Canucks.
Golden Knights, Oilers, and Kings.
No, you're looking at the, are you on the November 28th? That's Thanksgiving. You can change the day.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Oh, you're looking at Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. Huh? Not the current
ones. My God. I was like, what do you mean? So, I was not looking at Thanksgiving.
So that 20%.
Oh, my God.
That 20% change from Thanksgiving to the playoffs is usually teams that are in the hunt. So at that point, we did have the Oilers 1 point behind the wild card, the Kraken 2 points behind, the Blues 2 points behind for the West. And then the East, the Sabres at 23 points, 1 point behind, Flyers 1 point behind, Red Wings 2 points behind. And then honestly, the East is very close. They were all separated by one point or tied shotgunning all the way down that wild card standings.
Yeah, it was real fucking close. For sure.
So other than the top three teams in the Metro that are completely just blowing everybody out of the water.
Mm-hmm.
Rightfully so. Those teams look great. To put that into perspective today, we might as well do today's, since that's what you were looking at anyways.
Looking at today out of the Eastern, we have the Panthers, the Maple Leafs, the Bruins. In the Metro, Capitals, Devils, Hurricanes. Wild card right now is the Rangers and Lightning.
So no actual changes in the spots.
That was actually, I mean, it's holding pretty steady. In the Western Conference, Central, we have the Wild, Jets, and Stars. Pacific is the Knights, Kings, and Oilers. Wild card right now is Avalanche and the Canucks.
So the only change there is the Flames have now dropped out of a spot and the Oilers have moved into a spot.
It is worth noting in the Eastern Conference, the Flyers and Lightning are tied at 30. The Islanders are one behind at 29. The Senators and Penguins are actually behind at 28. In the Western Conference, the Flames are tied at 33 for the Canucks. The Blues and Kraken are behind by 3 at 30.
Yeah, and I actually wanted to look at something interesting here. I want to go back. I want to do a little comparison here just for everyone's sake. Oh my gosh. So since Thanksgiving, and maybe earlier, I'm not going to go back earlier and look. The Buffalo Sabres have gained a total of 3 points.
That's pathetic. That's really bad. That's really bad.
Yeah, so that's terrible. They have moved to second to last in the East from being in a fight for a playoff spot now to second and last.
8-game losing streak does that to you.
I think the Sabres are kind of done.
you know who else is on an 8-game losing streak? The Preds.
On a losing season.
Yeah, they are. That's true.
They're just so bad. Why are they so bad? Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well,
but
Speaking of cooks in the kitchen, we're about to see a lot of cooks in the kitchen.
A lot of cooking in the kitchen.
Yeah.
The Four Nations rosters were announced, and I'm very excited for this. I love that this is replacing the All-Star game.
I like it.
I'm not the biggest on the All-Star game, to be honest.
I didn't like the All-Star game, but I really, really like this. Really like this.
So this will be really good, but I'll fire through Sweden and Finland here if you want to take the US and Canada.
Yeah.
For Finland, our forwards here, Aho, Halla, Lundell, Armia, Hintz, Lustarainen, Barkov, Kako, Rantanen, Granlund, Laine, Teravainen, Lekkonen, defenseman, Hakanpää, Lindell, Ristolainen, Heskinen, Amada, Valimaki, and Mikkola. And our goalies for Finland are Linkkonen, Lukkonen, and Saros.
I'm glad you took that country.
Hey, that's why I took the.
Never gonna get through that country. Never gonna get through there.
If you don't know, if there's one name on there that's got a lot of letters on it that you didn't know how to say, it would have been Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, and I love saying his name. And he also loves saying his name if you saw that video at the beginning of the year.
Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Yeah. I love his name. Great name. All-timer. And then for Sweden, forwards were Arvidsson, Forsberg, Nyquist, Bratt, Carlson, Pettersson, Carlson, Kempe, Raymond, Eriksson Ek, Lindholm, Zibanejad, and Nylander. Defensemen were Anderson, Dahlin, Hedman, Brodin, Ekholm, Carlson, and Forsling. And the goalies were Gustafsson, Markstrom, and Ullmark. These are solid rosters for both of these teams.
Honestly, not too bad. Over in the U.S., we got Boldy, Hughes, Nelson, Connor, Kreider, Tkachuk, Eichel, Larkin, Tkachuk, Gunsel, Matthews, Torchak, and Miller. Over on the defense, we got Faber, Hanifin, Slavin, Fox, another Hughes, Werenski, and McAvoy. And then for the goalies, we got Hellebuck, Ottinger, and Swayman.
Solid goaltending for the U.S. Solid goaltending for the U.S.
In Canada, we got Bennett, Jarvis, McDavid, Sorelli, Konechny, Point, Crosby, McKinnon, Reinhardt, Hagel, Marchand, Stone, and Marner. On defense, we got Makar, Parayko.
Parayko.
Theodore, Morrissey, Pietrangelo, Taves, Sanheim. And in the net, we got Bennington, Hill, and Montembeau.
This is I can't believe that this is the trend now, but why is Team Canada's goalie pool like so much worse than everybody else's?
It's so weird, right?
Like, don't get me wrong, like Bennington, Hill, and Montembeau are all good goalies, but it's just like
compared to the rest.
Look at the US. Hellebuck, Ottinger, and freaking Swayman. Like what? That blows my mind. But
great teams overall.
Great teams. I love Team Canada's defense of having the pairings of Makar and Taze, who play with each other.
Yep.
Theodore and Pietrangelo, who play with each other. And then Parayko and Morrissey are both just solid defensemen. So I'm sure they will have great. I mean, I think Colton Parayko could literally play with anybody. So
it's actually really funny looking at a lot of these teams, because it's like he plays with him, that's his brother, that's that person,
right. Like the two of the three Hughes boys are on Team USA. Yep. And then oh my gosh, I'm blanking.
The Tkachuks
are both on Team USA as well.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely fun rosters. I'm ready for this best on best showcase. It's going to be great. Did you see? Let me pull this up really quick. Um, Did you see that somebody came out with a projected, Matt Murley came out with a projected Team Europe list?
Ooh.
And then somebody came out with a Team Russia list, what that would look like.
Hmm.
So just for kicks and giggles sake here, Team Europe would look like Pasta, Draisaitl, Natchez, Meyer, Kopitar, Stutzel, Ehlers, Hischier, Fiala, Hurdle, Rossi, Protas, and Bjorkstrand. Defensemen are Josi, Gudas, Seider, Hronek, Faveri, and Cernik. And the goalies are Dostal, Mrazek, and Merzlikins, which I think is a pretty solid option there. And then Team Russia. It's so terrible that they're not in this tournament. Here's your forwards: Ovechkin, Malkin, Kucherov, Kaprizov, Barbashev, Svechnikov, Panarin, Buchnevich, Tarasenko, Kuzmenko, Trenin, Michkov. The defensemen: Sergachev, Provorov, Romanov, Gavrikov, Orlov, and Mintukov. I can't ever say his name. Goaltenders: Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, Bobrovsky.
Holy shit.
Just the goaltenders alone. They don't even need a defense. They don't even need defense.
They don't need anybody. They don't need anybody else. They're fine.
With some possible extras of being Kostin, Nichushkin, and Zadorov. So, that's...
What a loaded team.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. That's kind of wild. So.
No, that's Team Russia. But I'm...
Yeah, no, literally. I just like... Oh my god. Just the goaltenders alone. Shesterkin, Vasilevsky, and Bobrovsky. I'm like...
Yeah.
It's a crime. Oof. It's a crime.
Jeez.
I really hope they're in the Olympics. I hope they figure it out and are in the Olympics.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But I think that wraps us up for hockey.
Yeah. Moving over on in basketball, we got a couple of injuries. We got Ingram out indefinitely with ankle sprain. Wagner out minimum of 4 weeks, torn oblique. The Barnes out multiple weeks with a non-fractured ankle injury. And then Edwards fined again for $25,000 for profane language. That is the Pelicans, the Magic, the Raptors, and the Timberwolves in succession. I mean, yeah. Injuries, mid-season, fines happen, you know.
The good thing that Toronto's not good, because this Barnes is a tough injury.
That sucks, yeah.
Ingram's
also a tough loss.
Yeah, because the Pelicans, I feel like, while they aren't the best, they're definitely like fighting for like a sneaky wild card spot or a play-in spot or whatever they call it for basketball. So
the play-in tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not really. I mean, they're sitting at 5-20 last in the West.
The Magic definitely are fighting for one of those spots.
Yeah, the Magic are number 3 in the East right now. So
yeah, so
that sucks.
That's a tough loss for them.
Yeah.
And then I just can't even believe he's up to like $60,000 total in fines already this season.
Yeah. He's good grief.
All right, and that brings us into our little in-season cup playoffs here.
Yep.
So our people moving into the remaining playoffs of the tournament. Let's start with the quarterfinals. So yeah. The Thunder beat the Mavericks. The Rockets beat Golden State. Milwaukee beat Orlando. And Atlanta, in a big upset, beating the Knicks. So that leaves us with the Thunder versus Rockets and Bucks versus Hawks for the semifinals. So do we want to do predictions here?
It'll be Thunder Hawks in the finals. Thunder versus Hawks.
Yeah, I think the Rockets, they got an easier matchup there. That's why they went forward. And then the Hawks, you think the Hawks over the Bucks?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
So you think they're going to play the hot hand even in the upset?
Yeah.
I think the Bucks also have a hot hand right now too, because they're finally, you know, ironing out their season.
Yeah. No kidding.
So I could see that going either way for the East, but the West, I think, yeah, for sure, it's going to be the Thunder moving on.
Yeah.
I could see the Thunder probably taking the whole thing.
I could see that. I could see the Thunder winning.
Although I feel like if the Hawks win the semifinals round as well, like it's definitely, they're definitely in the conversation at that point. Well, I mean, they obviously they are, but
right.
Yeah. More seriously.
We'll see.
Notable teams that didn't make it. No Celtics.
I'm not overly surprised. I'm not overly surprised, honestly.
No Cavaliers.
That is surprising.
No Suns.
That's surprising.
I want to shoot myself over that because we lost the freaking tiebreaker.
Yep.
No Spurs.
That's shocking.
And no Timberwolves.
That one I'm not as surprised about. The rest I'm pretty shocked about.
Yeah. Oh, no, I was going to say no Mavericks, but they did make it.
Yeah.
They
got busted.
Yeah, so, yeah, the other one, very surprising, some very surprising outs.
Yeah, no, for sure.
But, like I said, like, I mean, the Suns lost their tiebreaker. Because freaking Golden State put up, like, a million points on their last game. Is solely the reason, and we beat the last team by 1 point or something stupid. The Celtics,
it was points.
Yeah, Celtics lost their tiebreaker.
Three points.
And I don't know what happened with the Cavs. Did they just not win the games?
Yeah, 2-2.
Oof. Yeah, so that's a rough for them. And then the Spurs were also 2-2, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, Spurs, yeah, 2-2.
Thanks. So yeah, that's rough. So
yeah, the Suns didn't get in by 3 points as well.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, bud. Right there with you. So that's the in season cup playoffs. We will recap that at the end.
Which is next week.
That wraps up.
Next week we'll talk about it. Because the 17th is the last game. So,
yeah, because I think the semifinal rounds are this weekend and then
Saturday,
the championship.
But it's time, Kiwi. It's time for Hold'em or Fold'em, our favorite game here on the On a Heater podcast. But it's my turn to ask you. We're going to go through the top six because we don't count the in-season tournament playoff teams. So we're just going to go by current playoff teams right now from the East and West. And I'm going to ask you, hold them or fold them.
Oh, boy. All right.
Cavs, 21-4.
That's tough to not say hold them, right? Because they went, what were they, 16 or 17-0?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say hold them. They had such a good start to the season. It's going to be hard to lose a spot.
Okay. Yeah, we're starting at number one, and then we're going to go
down. Working down, okay.
Celtics, 19-5.
Hold them.
Okay.
No hesitation.
Magic, 17-10. That was a thinker.
Hold them.
Hold them, all right.
No, fold. Fold. Yeah. Okay. Fold them. Okay.
Knicks, 15-10.
Old,
yeah. The Heat, 12-10.
Old.
Holding. The Bucks, 13-11.
Old.
Dang. All right.
Heat is a fold. Heat is a fold.
Oh, Heat is a fold. Okay.
Yeah, Heat is a fold.
Heat is a fold.
Heat is a fold.
They sound so close together.
Right.
Okay. Honestly, Not bad picks. I think I might agree with you on every single one of those.
Honestly, the Magic and the Heat are the only ones that I have a fold on, and that's solely because, like, I feel like, well, I just haven't seen enough about them.
Yeah.
So I feel like they're kind of just there.
Yeah.
The Bucks, I think, are definitely making their comeback up. The Knicks are a better team than they're playing.
Yeah.
And I think they'll find that groove. And then the other two, I mean, they're sitting at the top. They've been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
All season, so.
All right, on to the West. We got the Thunder.
Hold.
Okay. Rockets 17-8.
Is this for? I think they're going to stay in the top six.
Yeah, like they're going to get it. They're going to get into the playoffs.
Outside of the play-in. Like, they're going to get an actual playoff spot, or they're going to have to play in for a playoff spot?
I'll let you determine.
All right, I'm going to say no play-in spot, so I'm going to say fold.
Fold them. Okay. The Grizzlies at 17-8.
I said the Timberwolves earlier for the in-season cup. I definitely meant the Grizzlies.
I think I did that before, too.
I definitely meant the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
As a surprise for not getting in.
Hold them. Okay.
I like the Grizzlies this year.
All right. Dallas Mavericks at
fold.
16.
Fold.
didn't even get to finish their record. All right. I get it. Golden State Warriors at 14-10.
Fold.
Hold them.
I'm running. No. Fold.
Hold them. Okay.
Yeah.
Running away from Curry there.
He can't do it all himself. I mean, he's definitely going to try, but.
And finally, the Clippers at 14-11.
I'm on hold on this one.
Hold them. Okay.
I think the Clippers are a better team than they are playing.
All right. I mean, honestly, I think the Warriors I might hold there, the Rockets I might hold there. But other than that, you know, pretty good picks. We'll see. As we get, you know, further along in the season, maybe we'll revisit halfway through the season there.
Is Crybaby and Matt in Dallas still injured? Senior flops a lot.
Is he injured? I don't know. Let's see.
Didn't he like break his ankle or something, or his elbow or something?
No. The only injuries they have are Williams, Washington, Kleber, Hardy, and Dante Exum.
Okay, so he's back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a little spicier on the West. I don't even know what are the teams in the play-ins right now.
Play-ins right now. Let's see. We have the Atlanta Hawks in the East, the Brooklyn Nets, the Pacers, and the Chicago Bulls.
I think that just for continuity's sake, we don't have to write this down, but yeah. I think the Hawks and the Pacers will hold a spot there.
Okay. And then in the West, we have the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Timberwolves, and the Suns.
Yeah, there's going to be some volatility in the West.
Yeah. Well, especially because the Spurs.
If KD could stop being injured for literally the entire season, the Suns would be in the top right now.
Yeah. I guess it is worth noting the Pistons and the Bulls and the Pacers are all tied record wise. The Nets are 10-14, so they're like basically tied too. The Lakers, Timberwolves, Suns, Spurs, and Kings are like one game or tied.
Yeah. Yeah, the West is very close.
Yeah. But that's it. That's all the news. We did it. We made it through. All
right.
But it's time for On a Heater Hot Takes of the Week. My hot take, not a hot take, of the week, Mr. Pop-Tart. streaming services are ruining sports. And I'm not going to lie to you, I think that they are ruining sports. It is so hard to find games now. Like, games are so just... You can't get them unless you have X streaming service, Y streaming service, YouTube, NHL, NFL, MLB, Apple TV, Peacock, Paramount, ESPN Plus. I'm getting so turned around by all these streaming services. I wish it was just on cable. Like, I literally, my box is right there. You can see it. and I just wish that they almost were still just sitting on cable TV, but sometimes now they're not even doing that. And I have to go to all these dink and dunk streaming services, and I'm getting sick of it. YouTube TV just went up another however much money. They went up like 137% over the last 5 years because of rising costs of all sorts of things. Bullshit. Give me a break.
They make so much money off of those contracts. They don't need it.
It's insane. It's insane. It blows my mind. And these greedy corporations, like, man, they're killing me. And I know that, like, people are starting to wake up, you know, with recent events with CEOs going on. So, you know, I don't know, man. I think that we need to rework streaming services with sports and just in general. I think that they're getting a little out of hand with password sharing cancellations and, you know, just a lot of other shit going on.
Yeah, it's not great. I am of the belief that if it is a professional sport, it should regardless be on ESPN Plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would even be okay if it's not on ESPN Plus or if it's a blackout game, it needs to be on cable.
Yeah.
For your area.
I agree.
Like if you are blacked out, like say I'm obviously in Michigan, if I'm blacked out for a Red Wings game, like I usually am, It should be on cable. Any cable, like I have Hulu TV,
right?
It should be on there,
like local. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I honestly,
I would even be okay. I would even be okay paying like $40 a freaking month for ESPN Plus if I could literally watch any game, any sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can't, and that's not how it works. So.
Yeah,
just so. It's stupid and I hate it and it makes no sense and people are literally missing games because of it, and that's why the ratings are down on a lot of these teams.
Well, if you are an out of market fan for an NBA team,
you're screwed.
Kiss watching your team goodbye. I've seen one Suns game this whole year.
Yeah,
one
sucks.
And yeah, I could have seen more, but the time zone is like terrible for me.
Yeah,
but one game.
Yeah.
Out of maybe a possible five, maybe. That's generous.
It's so insane.
No, I'm right there with you. They definitely are, and I'm very nervous with the NHL's next CBA coming up. Mm-hmm. That
about to get worse.
They're gonna, yeah. I hope it gets better. I mean, I don't know how it could get much worse for NHL. You can't watch like three games a week because they're on an NHL network.
Yeah,
and then. And I'm not paying $80 for that.
No.
And then you can't watch in-market games. And then the rest of the games are like 10 p.m. starts. Like,
yeah, so late. It's late. Oh, it's real late.
But speaking of the NHL, that brings me into my hot take of the week. I think that this year's NHL trade deadline will be the most active ever in the history of the NHL. I think there's a lot of teams that are on the cusp of being a playoff team, and a lot of teams that realize there's a lot of teams being on the cusp of being a playoff team that want to bulk up to prevent that.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be moves like crazy. A lot of buyers. All the bad teams will obviously be sellers. I think we're going to see some big changes. Like, well, just for example, the Kraken now have like $10 million to play with.
Yeah, they do.
The Blues have a ton of money to play with. The Rangers have money to play with. The Golden Knights will do something. that's set. There's a lot going on, and I think there's going to be a lot of movement.
I agree.
And honestly, I love that when that happens. So
yeah,
it's more news for you guys.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun trade deadline when that comes around. So.
But that brings us to the sports bets of the week by DraftKings, not sponsored.
Sponsor us.
This week I have Club 10, which I don't have any idea why it's called that. Are all these people have the number 10? No, they're not. No. I don't know why it's called this. Plus 780, Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, David Montgomery, all to record a touchdown. That is a rushing touchdown or receiving touchdown for Josh Allen. Might I remind everyone? I'm sure you know, but I may remind you. And then I also have the Seahawks to beat the Packers, as I alluded to earlier, plus 114.
Not a bad pick. Not bad. Honestly, Seahawks, Packers, you know, that's a good one. So not bad. Mine over on my side of the bets. I have Airing It Out plus 927. Lamar Jackson, Jordan Love, Sam Darnold, Kyler Murray all record 2 passing touchdowns each. So cross your fingers on that one.
Good bless.
A lot of high flyers there. The one that I'm worried about is Kyler.
It's the Patriots, bro.
That's true.
So, I mean, he might do it on his legs, though. So yeah, I guess it is worth a worry.
Yeah. And then the other one I have is for tomorrow night, Friday's game, the Senators to beat the Hurricanes, money line plus 170.
Not bad. We'll see. We'll see if the Senators are for real tomorrow night, I would say.
That's my thoughts.
If you can beat the Hurricanes, then you can play with the Big Ducks.
Yeah.
So I think that's about all from us today, though. So hope everyone respectively either enjoyed or did not enjoy. Yeah. If you hate watch us, we still appreciate that.
We always do. And be sure, you know, check us out, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, Prime, podcast, wherever you might watch, listen for more. Be sure, like, comment, subscribe, the huge where applicable.
Enjoy your weekend, everyone.
Yeah, we're done rambling. Be free.